Okay. Members, we're going to start our work session. It's 4:35, Tuesday, late afternoon, early evening, depending upon your perspective. I believe we have quorum, yes. And I'm going to do a roll call to get us started. Commissioner Gaffer?
Present.
Commissioner Green is absent. Commissioner Conklin?
Here.
Myself is here. Commissioner Budge?
Here.
Commissioner Trujillo said he would not be able to make either of tonight's meetings. Commissioner Crow is not here. And our liaison, Frank Davis, is here. Okay. So this is a work session scheduled up until 5:30 when our regular monthly meeting will occur. This was requested by the city manager, Mr. Smith, Robert Smith, for us to be looking at how we can streamline approval processes, allowing installation of building materials that can be administratively approved. As some commission members know, there's a degree to which we already have an administrative approval process in place with the existing building inspector. So this would really be looking at building and potentially expanding upon that, as I understand it. It would allow our board, the design review board, to concentrate on more substantial changes and not hold up rehabilitation projects over details that are likely to be approved, but only after waiting weeks for our monthly meetings. City Manager Smith, I would just say as we get started, and so the public knows, since it's a work session, this is really an opportunity for the commission to work on an issue, in this case with you. We have members of the public present, just so you all know, in case you don't. With a work session, we don't have a process necessarily where we take in input formally, but what I'd like to do is, to the extent that we can have a coherent conversation, allow for input from the public that's here as well. So if you could just be mindful of that in terms of our process, because the main goal here is to make sure that the commission understands what's being proposed and has an opportunity to discuss it tonight. With that being said, what I wanted to just share with our city manager is, we have at times struggled as a design review board as well with where's the balance, where's the right balance, how much can we defer to city staff through an administrative approval process, what do we really need to see that is discretionary, be able to review. You know, we've touched on different topics, we've updated in certain areas our regulations, particularly regarding murals and demolition process more recently. As you may know, we also produced a brochure that is still on hold, I think, with the city, wanting to put into a larger welcome packet for new property buyers. So there's a number of things that we've tried to do to educate and inform and simplify certain processes that we can defer to the building inspector. But clearly there's concerns you and others have, and there's concerns that we've been aware of as well that have come up periodically in terms of consistency or in terms of just staffing capability. What's a realistic staffing support at the city level? So with that, you presented us already a kind of a general overview of what some of your concerns and proposals and thoughts are. So I'd like to ask, unless any other commission members have a burning question right now, not seeing any, to really, if you could give us a brief overview of what you presented and where you want to see this conversation go, or if there's a more specific proposal that you do have in mind, where you want to see that proposal go for the commission's review.
Well, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Board. Thank you so much for you guys being here this afternoon. I know you have a busy schedule. I appreciate you volunteering your time. I had two macro goals today. One was to talk to you about what's happening with our staff and the IGA that we're working out with the county for development services. And I wanted to talk to you as an extension of that, what we might be doing in the future and how we might be working with each other to facilitate the investment in our community and helping people along with simple things. And because we're changing the administrative relationships a little bit. I just wanted to touch on both of those things so that you're solid with where we're headed administratively. And then if we need to make adjustments to discretionary decision-making in the field by staff, we have a basis for that, an understanding for that. So the first thing I'd like to discuss really is where are we headed with development services and our staff. Joe Ward has been trying to do everything, and that's not working because he's one man, and there's more than one man's worth of work. I've talked with Dan. The county has been very receptive to supporting us. They have been bringing expertise on board to do the same kind of services for the county. And so we've explored an IGA where the city would be using the county's personnel and skills for support for building inspection, code enforcement, and support to P&Z and the DRB. We already have some of these functions in place. Of course, Paul has worked with you guys in the past, and you've seen some of the county players come through on the odd project, but it hasn't been a regular practice. And so I've been working with Dan, and he and his staff and Joe have been working on a division of labor and an agreement. We think that we're there with the draft. We're ready. The way this would be structured, Joe Ward would be primarily business of building inspections. That's Joe's bailiwick. He would be helping the county transition and uptake code enforcement for the city. So the county's personnel would be doing code enforcement activity for the city. That would take a transition of training time that Joe would bring the county personnel up to speed on.
Can I ask a question, and other commission members, the work session is a little less formal, so I'm going to play chair roles I need to, but really this is an opportunity for any of us to ask questions of City Manager Smith so we understand what he's proposing, or if there's something that's not clear, to get it clarified. I think it would be helpful just to clarify what the existing IGA calls for. Mm-hmm. I don't know that all commission members are conversant, so I think that would be helpful just to know at a sort of starting level.
Sure.
What does the IGA cover currently? And the other question I know I had just in reviewing your memo was, would Joe still have his primary responsibility as building inspection in Bisbee? I think for certain people out here in the community, I think for commission members too, there'd be a concern that we would wind up with any building inspector and one that was not versed in the particulars of being able to do work in an historic district particularly.
Sure. Well, the standing IGA with the county provides almost a mutual aid relationship where if we have a need for staff and we don't have them present and the county does, they will provide staff, and vice versa. You know, I think Joe was out of the country for a week or two and county staff stepped up and helped support things, and I think now some of the county staff are away at training and Joe's doing some work with the county to support what it is that they're doing. So we had a we currently have a cooperative agreement where we'll backfill each other. We just know that we're seeing an uptick in development and interest in investing in Bisbee, and we don't have the staff and we don't have the ability to fully fund our own staff. And since the county's already fully funding a department, it makes sense for us to get good unit costs from them and use the county's expertise. So the existing agreement is a very flexible one where we share resources. And where we're going with this is Joe would primarily be handling building inspections in Bisbee in the beginning. He would be working with the building inspectors that are on staff with the county to create that understanding and sensitivity to the historic district and Bisbee's issues. I think having Paul as part of this work group is really important because he's already familiar largely with Bisbee and the district. Joe's focus in building inspection is really the bulk of his, I think, experience and professional experience, and so his strengths there, I think, will help the county. In fact, within this agreement, we are working for Joe to transition and become a county employee. because there is no opportunity within my administration for growth and advancement for this kind of work. I'm not going to have the dollars to promote someone to, you know, chief building official and things like that. So this would give him a chance to grow as well as the county to get to know us better. And I do think that Joe's transition of code enforcement will be beneficial to us as well, because we'll have access to more man hours in code enforcement than we currently have with Joe trying to cover all of these bases. It also covers the expansion of Paul's duties, and certainly having an AICP planner associated with the board as well as the commission is beneficial to us in terms of the quality of our packets and reporting. And I'm hoping that we can create after-action reporting to the DRB and the P&Z so that, you know, you go to all this trouble and you go to all this analysis and you finally approve something and it leaves the DRB and goes into permitting and construction, and then what happened? You know, do you really get to see what turned out? And I think that there's a way for us to close that loop back with the DRB and the P&Z so that you get to see what the result of that deliberation and approval was. That kind of leads me into this next step. We're changing the dynamic of how the city will handle permitting and inspections and code enforcement. And I know that that's going to create some uncertainty. People are going to wonder, are we really getting what we're supposed to get? Do people understand is what's happening in the field, what we intended? So that reporting, I think the conclusionary reporting is going to be important. Once we have some consistency and once we have some certainty between the board's intentions and outcomes, I think that's the point that we need to talk about. Are we empowering staff enough? Is the board, is DRB being brought a bunch of things that maybe if they had the right tools, staff could handle without having to do the public notifications and the public meetings? And I don't know that we need to start that up front, but I want the conversation out there so that when we create this IGA and we begin to perform and we true up our communication and our behavior with the board's expectations, we are primed and ready to have that discussion and think about it. I think low-hanging fruit would be project elements that don't require a building permit, where you're talking basically about ornamentation or style, and if there's a strong enough design guideline or visual direction to staff, there may be elements of that that you would feel comfortable as a board allowing staff to pick and choose from that design guideline. You may already have these tools. They may already be very robust and useful. I don't know. But I think at some point, when we have the horsepower to do the projects, and given what we're seeing in the economy, there's going to be an uptick in investment and development, we may want some things to be fairly quick and easy for the customer or the investor. And I think you could probably start out with things like fences that don't require a building permit that are, you know, under that height limit. You may be able to nail down a set of styles, a set of color palettes, a set of examples that you really like from the community, and have it in a portfolio. And as long as the contractors and the owners are looking for something that's very similar to that, they're good to go. That way you're not having to sit on something that's really not a structural issue and doesn't have to be a design issue because you've already clearly told staff what your expectations are. I think if we can just get that far where we're comfortable with all of that, and when those administrative decisions happen in the field, you get an after report or a debrief report that shows you what the product of that staff decision was. And maybe you have corrections for staff. You know, that's a little bit vibrant. The color palette needs to tone down, or, you know.
We just so you know, color is not something DRB currently steps into. Historically, there was a period when we did, but we do not make color decisions.
It could be texture or material or whatever it is that the board decides is appropriate to regulate for the district. I think there's a way to create enough understanding with staff at some point where small things can just tick right along.
Well, currently, Joel does have the power to do administrative approval in the field for, like, let's say siding or something like that, just like with like. So,
and
he does have.
And that's a great point, and it's good that they have that discretion. The reason why I'm here is I'm changing the game with the players. And what I don't want to get lost is you may have a very good, tight understanding with Joe, and I want to make sure that the product that we get out of this change still produces the quality and the built environment that you expect as a design review board. So I know I'm changing the game in terms of the players and the structure. I just want to be sensitive to your issues and all the work that you do for BSB. And I want you to rest assured that I'm confident that with the professionals that we have that will be helping us, we can get to the point where you have a comfort level with staff and we're able to continue to do some administrative, ministerial decision making in the field.
I think everybody on this board lives in Old Bisbee. All these projects we're looking at are in Old Bisbee. Why can't we hold these DRB meetings in Old Bisbee? There must be some public spot other than having everybody drive all the way out here.
I don't know why you couldn't. If I can presume, you need a recording device to be able to make a record of the conversation. I've been talking with Frank and some other people about trying to create space within the Masons Hall, because it's a building that's largely unused. It's right in the middle of Old Bisbee. There's enough space.
Yeah.
And if we could get access to using that building, we'd be able to meet down there where the district is. And, you know, I think merchants might want to meet as a group in some form or fashion. I know I want to be able to meet with people down there. Mm-hmm. It's a very good idea.
I think that would really work. It just seems odd that we're, it's all about the old part of town and we're driving all the way out here.
Well, it's because of the situation we're in. You know, it wasn't a choice.
Right, and even it wasn't the City Hall, we were driving to Warren, but it had nothing to do with Warren.
Right. I think there are opportunities there, we just haven't explored them all yet. But I would like to have neutral meeting space in Old Bisbee where we can have conversations with folks about things.
Another, I guess, question or just clarification, since you brought the issue up about administrative approvals, and Mr. Conklin had just reinforced that there, or, you know, we've got a process in place we thought was attempting to address that. For me, it would be helpful to hear from Joe, since he's here. Thank you, Joe, for joining us. To hear from Joe just about where the administrative approval process has fallen short for him, where he's found it didn't work, where, as opposed to where it does work. And I think it would be helpful either for the public or for commission members just to reinforce what administrative approval currently covers so that we're all clear what he currently or some other person would have as that authority.
We've got three of our local contractors here in attendance who could speak to this and how this affects them. But there's, you guys wind up with any more, many times you guys have so many things that are on the agenda. I mean, sometimes you got 8 and 10 things that are on the agenda where there's obvious things that are just absolutely obvious that you guys are going to approve them, such as if they're changing out a horizontal sliding window to a single hung window, those kind of things. If you're changing out exterior sidings, well, we wouldn't say sidings, say wall treatments, because it's not including but not limited to siding, and doors, some of that things. That if those could be used as put into administrative approvals, it's not going to hold up our contractors. It's not going to cost our residents extra money to get approvals on these, and it would expedite and it would help our relations with our neighbors. Right now, as you guys all know, that the administrative approvals are limited to like for like, which is good, but it's overly simple and it's not addressing the needs, I think, And this doesn't affect me anymore, but I think it would help our district if you guys loosened up a little bit on what you allowed to be administratively approved, so that there's some, like I said, there's some of them are just obvious when they come to you guys that I tell the people ahead of time, say, well, it'll happen, but we have to take it before the board. And by having administrative approvals on that, it would expedite the process.
So as an example, if we had a context or provided written guidance that indicated that a change, not just like to like, but a change from something non-historic to historic in material and look would be a slam dunk as well for an administrative approval?
Yeah.
Am I capturing the idea?
Yeah. And you know, the way you guys have done in the past, where you've worked on these things for months and you've put together your ideas and taken it incrementally and put it all together, I think that's a good way to come upon this. I don't want you guys to go too fast, because you know how those things work out. But it's something that I would like you guys to start thinking about how you would like to do that, or if you want to do it, it's your call. But I think it's a reasonable objective.
What I'm worried about is that you have tons of experience with working with local contractors here. You know basically what we want, what looks good. When we start bringing new players in the game that are not educated with, you know, siding and windows and stuff like that, I think that there has to be a good transition process for I don't know how long it would take, so that you could give them the guidance so that they would know what to look for. That's where I have some questions.
And you guys would have to come up with some very specific guidelines on that, to where it's not up to really their discretion per se, but if it fit into these categories, mm-hmm. then it'd be obvious in my opinion, but mm-hmm. but you guys have to come up with some really good guidelines for that, Todd.
So is Commissioner Bud? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, as we all know, anything that doesn't require a building permit doesn't come before us. So that's an easy something we can handle right there. We gave up signs to approval years ago. Things have not gotten worse because of the sign code issue. You know what was. I am partly on board with the idea that as our building inspector works with DRB, they start to understand, oh, well, they want this change, they see, and so he or she would know that. And if we work into a bigger circle, that becomes harder and harder. Learning curve becomes not like this, but like, you know, forever. So that, you know, is my part of my trepidation with this. I guess my last comment would be, as it works now, if somebody wants to do something in Old Bisbee, and let's say it really is a DRB issue, more or less, they come in with 7 packets and they present it to Joe, and he gets to say, okay, this looks good, we'll present it, versus not. Now, who's going to do that now? Because you're going to be out in the field doing inspections. How's the process here? The next one is, how do the fees get set? I mean, I used to come into Joe and say, okay, we're doing this and this. Well, how much is that going to cost you? Well, I'm going to do most of the work, but this is the material costs I have. And so we come to an agreement, and he stamps it, and I go down and pay my fee. I don't know how that's all going to work with the county. We're much easier that way because we're a small one-man operation. Am I right, Joe?
That's right.
And this is stuff that I think is going to come back and bite us, because this next person is going to come down and think he's got something that could be administratively approved, but who's going to do that? And then when it's not, what's the fees going to be set at? And so, I mean, that's where I know one guy is being overwhelmed. But what he really needs is he needs help with his paperwork and all the other stuff, so he can do the things that we need, not necessarily having all this meeting and other stuff. That's where I'd like to would feel much more comfortable understanding that, because he needs to be the go-to guy for at least a year on all this kind of stuff. That's got to be in the IGA, and then as the training curve. I mean, I know when we've changed building inspectors, I've gone through 3 of them now. and I think we all can testify there's this learning curve that first they're all become, I hate that guy because he's just so much this way. Am I wrong? and then he starts learning the whole idea and how we, you know, One of the things you talked about is the follow-up, and that's always been an issue with me, is we sit here and we look at the plans and we go, you know, if you'll do this to the windows and do that, we'll give you the approval. So it's not really based in what happens, but we've given that approval. It gets written down by the chairman, and it's supposed to go in through the paperwork. Again, the person that's going to inspect it has heard that, seen that, and put that in. As we grow and that becomes, how does that our desires start to get? Those are the issues I see that are giving me a little setback. It needs to be a very slow transition, and we need to have, you know, more than just what I've learned is written rules when it comes to remodeling Old Bisbee is a very, very hard thing to, you know, well, it's, in some things it's easy. Sign code, yes, it's supposed to be this way, supposed to be this far off the street, so on and so forth. But then when you start looking at so many other things, what was there versus what's not, you know, design, not necessarily color, but the kind of size, I mean, we, to be quite honest, in my opinion, we sit here and manipulate and talk to the people and give them guidance on what we think is a good idea. They generally come around to our thinking, and I think that is why when we've had, on all the years I've been here, the people come down from the State Historic Society say, Bisbee's one of the best run historic districts in the state. We love you guys. I mean, I've heard that more than once, and I don't want that to go away.
And I would agree. You know, we have an incredible asset, an incredible resource here. And we're fortunate that we haven't really faced a lot of development pressure. And that has allowed us to work with one man attempting to do the work. I would say that one of the saving aspects of the IGA is Joe's continued involvement in Bisbee's historic district and his continued involvement in inspections. So I don't think that we immediately lose Joe's support when it comes to Bisbee sensitivities. And in fact, I think there's an advantage there. His continued involvement ensures that there's ongoing training and dialogue with the county personnel. Also, while I understand the comfort and fit that you have with an existing professional, the administrative structure and the administrative services need to be crafted in a way that they're replicable and replicable by new players, so that you don't have a great season with one person and then all of a sudden they're gone for whatever reason and you're left to your own devices trying to bring a ranked person up to speed. And so it may be that there's great understanding between DRB and Joe when it comes to the DRB's preferences and where you're coming from. We need to get that written down. We need that to be part of the training materials so that when we bring people in, they have a chance to get up to speed faster. When you start facing more development and you're not able to run it all through your favorite staff person, the only other way to maintain quality is for there to be enough guidance and tools from the board that other people can train on it and get facilitated by an existing expert so their service level can come up. I can also tell you, we as a municipal administration do not have the funds to hire a code enforcement person to have them come on board. We don't have the funds really to do justice to the planning administration that's necessary for the items that come before you. Right now, we're paying nothing, zero. We're really not paying anything for that. It's not appropriate for us to operate that way and put the county in that position. So we need to take the meager resources we have and do the best we can with them. The current IGA would have us continuing to support Joe at his current salary and benefit levels. However, he would become an employee of the county and have the opportunity to receive additional training and possible advancement within his path. That agreement also provides for a monthly amount that the city would provide to the county for all the other services. And the county has graciously agreed to provide those services for several months to determine what the monthly cost might be. We think that it's going to be somewhere in the $2,000 to $2,500 a month range for Paul's time and code enforcement and all that. We could not hire that kind of personnel for that kind of money. It's not possible. Yes, sir.
I think it's a good idea because I think Joe's been overworked. He's had, he's basically doing two jobs and it's really not fair. So I think it's a good idea to split this up. And I think as it happens, we'll work it out and see, you know, I think it can all be worked out.
As long as the training.
The communication, yeah.
And we do have Dan here, and I know that Dan would be willing to speak with you guys if you have questions for him, too. Our objective in this, Dan and I sat down and just had a very frank conversation that there's no way the city can cover what we need to cover, but development's going to come. We've got all this attention coming from tourism, and people are buying houses, and we're now seeing an uptick in construction. And we can't do it with one guy, and we don't have a lot of money. How are we going to do the right thing? And we have these, we have incredible professional resources here in the same building. And it makes sense, I think, to stretch the taxpayers' dollar that way.
I appreciate your being smart with limited resources. And as we hear about updates about even population decline continuing in Bisbee and Old Bisbee in particular, you know, it seems pretty clear to me, just in common sense, going, if we have fewer people living here, that means there's fewer resources in all these ways within our community, financial resources, tax revenue. So looking at some smart way, creative ways to be able to maintain our historic district, knowing that this is our economic reality, seems like a proactive approach to take. My concern kind of piggybacks on part of what Ken brought up, which is this historic district, once you take the commercial district out of the mix, right, because the commercial district is fairly simple to deal with. These are buildings with very definite architectural styles, built generally to reasonably high building codes at the time. so it lends itself towards a manual or description of what's done to maintain those buildings from a design review board or preservation standpoint. The challenge always is when we deal with our residential component, which is a mixed match of all kinds of building styles, most of which wouldn't meet current building codes or even building codes of their day, and how you meld that together. So when I hear that Joe would be, you know, the lead building inspector for Bisbee as a county employee for a time, what I'm also hearing in that is that with training, that would eventually go away. Joe gets a wonderful new opportunity in the county, or says, I've had enough, I'm retiring and I'm going to Vegas. Whatever happens where that person and his expertise that he's gathered in part by doing that job ends, there would be several building inspectors potentially then that would then have that share that responsibility. Is that the vision?
Yes, sir, and I think this is the best opportunity the board would have to be able to define and create tools to face that transition.
Because you're really asking us to update our design review guidelines, which I ran up the flagpole a few months ago, and people were not chomping at the bit, as I recollect.
Well, I'm not trying to dictate to the board, but what I'm saying is, I think administratively, at some point, Joe's going to retire, and we don't want to be flat-footed when that happens. In fact, if it's possible for us to bring other expertise to this table and then get them sensitized and develop the tools that are necessary to do that, we discover along the way what it is that we need to convey that special something that you want conveyed to these people that are handling inspections and enforcement.
So how many building inspectors does the county have currently?
I would defer the county questions to Dan if he doesn't mind speaking with you.
I'm Dan Coxworth. I'm the planning director for Cochise County. The number of building inspectors we have is two for the entire county. One works here out of the Bisbee office, and the other works out of the Sierra Vista office. We also do have the county building official who also conducts inspections on an as-needed basis. For the most part, he stays in the office, though.
So it's a pretty limited number of people we're talking about.
Excuse me.
Yes.
You said two?
Yes.
Code enforcement
officers, we have three people assigned to code enforcement.
And their workload, how is their workload?
So I've been with the county 4 months, and one of the first things I did in January when I started is I reassigned one of my staff members to oversee code enforcement only, to make sure that we are processing the code enforcement actions, correctly. Right now, I wouldn't say that they're overwhelmed. And just to be honest, there is some concern with code enforcement actions in Bisbee because I'm not quite sure all that is involved and what that workload would be. But obviously, with Joe's current status as a building official and plan reviewer and planner and DRB, I feel confident that we could look at the workload here in Bisbee and be able to absorb that, and also be able to absorb that into our current our permit tracking system and code enforcement system.
Quick question then. So if your other guys are super busy, the two that you have, then how would you be able to provide adequate training for them with Joel?
You're talking about the building inspectors or the code enforcement?
For just our on our end, for the DRB.
Right.
Could be both building inspection and code enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, Robert and I wouldn't be talking about this if I didn't feel as if that I had the capacity to provide these services for the city of Bisbee. And that's currently we currently have two IGAs. We have one for building and plan review, and we recently used that IGA. We filled in for Joe when he was on vacation, and he's now filling in for us because we have one of our inspectors that is at training and then going to be on vacation. And then with Paul's services for the Planning and Zoning Commission, the Bisbee Planning and Zoning Commission, there's capacity there for him to assist the city of Bisbee. Him and I have discussed what would be needed in order for him to play this role for the DRB. And we are in the learning process right now with Paul. He's been pretty busy preparing for this meeting. But we feel as if once the DRB is back on a consistent schedule and get rid of the backlog that you currently have, that will get a real good sense of what the workload is and be able to move forward. But I do feel as if I have capacity in my planning department with Paul and the two other planners to be able to assist the DRB.
So my question is, when we have a resident that's going to add a room on the back of his house, so he comes down here with his plans, who does he go to in order to get a building, to apply for a building permit? Because if it's in Old Bisbee, it requires a DRB hearing and plan review and also the amount, we get to keep we get to keep all of our building permit fees and so on and so forth, but that has to be set by somebody. So is there somebody in your office 24/7, when they're open, to come in that would be trained to be able to do that, or how would that work? If Joe's out in
Wilcox
taking care of a building inspection, how do we know that we'll be better served, our people?
I don't anticipate, at least initially, that Joe would be sent to Wilcox. He will remain your point man for the city of Bisbee for building and code inspections plan review, also assisting Paul with the DRB process. So it's not as if he's going to come over to the county and you're never going to see Joe again. It almost feels as if he's never left, because he's going to be your point man. He's definitely going to be our person to go to. So we fully understand the needs of the DRB, the needs of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and your city council.
And the fees, I forgot to address that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think that you're completely right about the fees. I believe that there is a comfort and a fit between the DRB, our customers, and the existing fee schedule. The fee schedule needs to be consistent. It needs to be consistently applied to all applicants. It needs to be publicly vetted. It needs to be approved by the council. It needs to be clear. I'm relatively certain that for most of the building inspection tasks, the fees can actually be handled by an administrative person on an intake side. I've done that in other departments. We want to get to that level of clarity and consistency with our fee structures, and not just in the building and development services area. We have a a full range of fees and fines here at the city that need a little management and constant tending. And that's one of the things, I don't know if you guys saw that in the last council meeting we had a U of A student present some research, which is the base layer of data that we'll use to springboard off working that after we get through the budget. But I do believe the administrative intake and the front end of the county's development services department is going to be an excellent place for the city of Bisbee to show up and secure their applications for projects and fees.
So real quickly, so you have two building inspectors, three code enforcements, and you have a planning...
planning division, Paul's the planning manager, and there are two very capable planners that work.
Right, so you have three planners too.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I was... Well, one of them used to actually be in Bisbee. Anyway, one of your planners. Anyway, okay, so I just want to look at the scope. Planning and stuff doesn't really impact us much on this board, but I know it's in the scope of everything. We can't just narrow it. Our scope is very narrow, but we do have to look at the overall. My last question, to be quite honest to you, Mr. City Manager Smith, is, you know, looking at the actual budget for next year, and you said this budget move would be revenue neutral. I have to take umbrage to that in respect that, because I did many budgets, I looked at it, and after his salary, which is the top portion, and we know that's just a switch off with the county, there's really only $6,000 in there for other things. Now, because you really can't count the $18,000 that's going to GF, because GF is just a wash. It, if you take it that as an expense, it also has to come off the $1.7 million that's in the revenue side.
Kenny, can you explain GF?
It's this GF internal services, and so it's in the budget at $17,945, but that also gets added back in on the revenue side, so it's revenue neutral here. You can't count that as money that we're going to be able to pay the county. If we do, that is money we'll be paying the county, because it will no longer be going back into the revenue side. So really, we have $6,000 here beyond the actual thing to pay for this additional situation. So I think when the budget hearings, if this is really the way we're going, it needs to be honestly put in here that you have $24,000 possible to pay for the rest of what we need.
You know, I understand where you're coming from there, and not to split hairs, but when it comes to the expense that we would be paying the county beyond the cost of Joe, which is already an expense that's in the budget, the $6,000, it may wind up being 3 months worth of support for Paul's work and the code enforcement work. I do believe that at the point that we get through the fee structures, and we make sure that our cost recovery is actually what it's supposed to be when it comes to applicants and the work they're doing, I think the rest of that's going to show up. Right now, we don't have a cost recovery policy. And so the fees are set wherever they're set. Why they're set there, we don't know. But we do have the ability to capture the time and effort that it takes to do the work and ensure that the applicant is paying for that so that other departments are not.
So just to be clear, when you're using the phrase cost recovery process or program, you're really talking about adjusting fees, existing application fees, in line with what it costs to that in that area of administration or support in that realm.
That's exactly correct. When you know, I'm not trying to rain on an investor's parade, but when a developer comes to me and says, I want to do work and your people need to do this for my application so I can get it approved, they need to pay for that. And they need to pay the full freight on that. They can't just pay a portion of that and have the rest of the citizens of Bisbee pick up that tab. Mm-hmm. So we need to be more accurate in how we set those fees. There's different techniques for that. In some subdivision situations, you actually require the developer to put a balance up. They actually put money on deposit, and then as your staff works on the project, they record their time, and it's drawn off that balance, and when you hit a certain threshold, they throw another check at you. That way you ensure that the citizens of Bisbee aren't spending their public dollars on a private investor's development. So we have thought about that, and we do not have an immediate answer, but we do have a direction.
Let me just follow up real, exactly, because it's kind of like park and facility use permits. You know, if the people are paying to use the services, they need to pay for it. Same here with this. I know I was in plan reviews. In the old fire department I worked at, you come in for a plan review, you had to pay for that plan review based on how complicated it was. We needs to be upfront here that very possibly to come before DRB, there is the initial fee and seven copies to go to all of us, but yet there has to be something built in for the added processes that are required versus just going somewhere else.
I think there's a slight misunderstanding. In the 18 years I've been here, I can't even hardly think of any developers that's come into this town. It's basically homeowners and our small local contractors are applying for permits. It's not like a big city where you have somebody actually coming in and do big projects.
Let's say you have a homeowner who comes in and they've got they're adding a room onto their house. The building permit and the inspections associated with it are pretty standard because you know how much time you're going to spend doing that.
Right.
If it involves some sort of a permit application that's going to come to you, and there needs to be planning work done on that in order for it to come to you, the homeowner needs to offset that cost.
Well, I think it does now.
And if it does now, that's great. Yeah. We just need to make sure that cost recovery is there. And that's why you'll hear me occasionally talk to council about when we get the budget dealt with and we brought things into balance, the very next thing we talk about are financial policies for our future. One of those is cost recovery. We provide services to lots of people, and what should our cost recovery be on that? And you know, some services we provide, there's no cost recovery, like in certain terms, police, in certain terms, right. Medical.
Right, but in building inspections, there generally is, I think, all
yes.
cities.
And
that.
So having council tell us...
I think,
us,
you know, some towns that are really booming, they go, whoa, there's a lot of people coming in from outside. They're going to make a lot of money, and we want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's little towns in Colorado where they charge you $10,000 to hook up the water or a sewer just because they can, but we don't have that kind of demand in this town.
And what we really need to be doing is showing that rational nexus between why we're charging this fee and what that person is paying for. And as long as that's clear... and the council has set the policy, everybody understands what people are paying for and why. We just don't have that yet, and it needs to be structured for BSBY. We provide a lot of services, and in some respects, we don't charge what we should, and that money winds up coming out of somewhere else and defeating that mission when it's deflating it.
I want to be mindful of time, and it's more than 20 after, and if it's okay with other commissioners, I'd like to give the public that has shown up an opportunity to at least express what concerns they might have or thoughts they might have about moving down this path. Are folks agreeable to that?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah? So if there's anyone here in the public that would like to help sort of help us be thinking about this and thinking of what it looks like in the future, if you could give us some feedback, that would be helpful.
My name's Alan Hosey. I've been doing work in town since 77, and through a number of building inspectors, served on the board, chaired the board in the early days, but we really need to have some smooth transition and a way to really identify what can be covered under administrative approval. You know, I've had customers come in and it takes a month to get on the board meeting, and if it was administrative approval, we could have changed one window out. So I think that we need to give whomever the building inspector becomes or the enforcement a set of more defined guidelines. And I know the guidelines that are existing have some parameters in there, but you need to be more explicit, I think. And just give something that categorizes it. If you're putting in a window in an opening that's existing, you're not changing the size, it should be allowed if it meets the criteria, the guidelines. So something simple like that. But it can't be an abrupt transition where you've got guys, we've had people when Joe's been gone come in, they can't even find the house. You know, and so you need to really make that transition smooth. you know, so that's my opinion about it.
Thank you, Mr. Hosey. Is there anyone else? Mr. Raby?
Hello, I'm John Raby. I second what Alan was saying on the transition and all that, making that smooth and all. A little thing I thought about when he was talking there, what might help, what if the contractors had a list of the stuff that needs to happen? You know, any contractor that comes into your office looking for permits or whatever, trying to do work in Bisbee or whatever, that plus the other people, your other people that are coming from the county, if they had a kind of a guideline that they could follow, and then if they got a question, they could call Joel or somebody, hey, is this cool, or one of you guys. You know what I mean? If one of your guys' lines was open, they could just call you and say, hey, we got this situation here. This is kind of a minor thing. Just check it out. Can we do go ahead and go for it or what? You know, because it's going to save a lot of time for everybody down the road. I mean, got people that get frustrated, clients that, you know, hey, we can't get this done, can't get that done because we got to wait a freaking month, stuff like that. And Joel had that administrative
approval
capacity to do that at one time, and then you guys took it away, so I don't know what happened there. You guys are talking about he's got some kind of administrative pull now, and he doesn't anymore. You guys took it away.
Before the
house burned down over there, the city hall, he was able to, you know, you guys had given him permission to go ahead and do, you know, administrate siding, small windows here and there, a door here and there. You know, and
traditionally it's like with like. So if there's a
lighting too. I mean,
if there's some siding that needs to be replaced,
like is like apples with apples.
Similar siding, and he could give that approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, have a little list there. That way, there's no doubt in nobody's mind of what's going on.
If I could interrupt, in other places I've worked, it's been very successful to reach out to the contracting community and get feedback like this as we develop this relationship and we try to streamline some things. You don't want to give everything away, but there is a balance that can be struck. And, you know, I think it's possible for us to facilitate, to make things a little easier on the contractors from soup to nuts. And the software that the county offers in terms of managing projects and managing applications and making sure those inspections are happening and documenting all that, the data that comes out of that's invaluable. And the contacts that we get out of the contractors who are doing work here, we know who's doing work. We got it on record. We can reach out to that electronically, and we can get comments from them just by reaching out using the data that we have in the system. I'm really excited about the expansion and the ability to do that.
I can understand the bigger jobs, you know, need to come before the DRB and everything. You gotta, you know, everybody's gotta get notified because they're gonna be you're afraid of it being a nice order to somebody. That's all totally understandable. But I mean, to have to wait and kill time and all that, you know, just to, you know, and then, I mean, you guys are gonna get paid regardless for the DRB fee and all that. Oh, another thing that came to mind too was, I don't know how you guys figure the plan review fee on that, but I thought it was pretty high last time I got one.
You're going to be talking to him about that. We don't decide that.
But anyways, yeah, that was, I don't know, I mean, to review those plans, it's going to take about 4 or 5 hours, $2,000, you know. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mr. Raby. Was there anyone else that wanted to offer any feedback or perspective? Not you, them.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We've had our chance.
All right.
Because we need to wrap it up. It's almost 5:30. So not seeing anyone else, contractors or others in the public that wanted to provide feedback. Was there anything else anyone here in the commission wanted to provide us feedback to City Manager Smith? No, there's something, okay. Mr. Conklin, Commissioner Conklin.
It'll just be a second. I'd sound like a broken record, but I just curious on the actual training process on that, mm-hmm. on that transition. Are you going to come up with another game plan and then come forward to us with, you know, how long it would take to train another guy to get him ready to get Joel's expertise?
I think we don't have a hard written draft of a training plan in hand. I think what we need to be doing, since Joe's already familiar, and he literally is going to change his office but not his relationship, having Joe involved, having him be the primary contact and the source for information for the rest of the county department, and then getting feedback from you guys on the product that comes from this and getting feedback from the contractors on how they're treated and how things work, I think we'll dial it in as we go. And I have a lot of faith that, you know, Joe's going to help us get other people up to speed so we're getting great service. I don't think that we have to have, like, a course or a specific amount of time. And we may be sailing along just fine, and then a year and a half later, we hit a wrinkle that none of us anticipated, and we need to address it. We'll pick it up, we'll deal with it, and we'll move on. I think we need to be continuously tuning it.
Thank you, City Manager Smith. I appreciate your taking the time to present this proposal sort of more in concept than in specifics. Mm-hmm. It sounds like this is going to be a discussion that's going to continue with the DRB, where more specific proposals will get crafted that will have the opportunity to shape and also provide you feedback regarding how it goes forward.
And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't propose that we entertain any discretionary decision-making in the field right now. I think if we're going to have the change in staff and we're going to see new players and new faces, let's get that locked down. And once everybody's comfortable with what we're getting out of that and you like the product and the contractors and our customers like the way they're being treated, then we'll talk about what is it that we need to be able to allow these folks to have some degrees of freedom.
Okay. Any other comments?
No,
you haven't.
Just to prove that I'm still here.
Yes. we had no doubt.
I read your memorandum, and everything seemed to be reasonable. And I understand the fiscal concerns that the city has, which is a nightmare. I realize that. I'm a lot more concerned having been to this meeting. When I came in, I thought, well, this seems pretty straightforward, particularly the fact that it sounds like, and I know this isn't the case, that Bisbee is spoiled by having Joe. I mean, he's looking after a town of 5,000 folks. The county is 180,000, and we're only adding two more inspectors. I mean, the stats just scare the bejesus out of me. I do urge in the IGA and the planning process for us to think about that, because I know Joe reasonably well, and he's been extremely helpful to my projects and so forth. But also, now he's really, really busy. But he's now going to be part of a 180,000 community as opposed to a 5,000 community. I think Joe's going to head for the hills. If I was Joe, I'd be scared shitless. Well, but anyway, that's my only comment. But
I can speak to that briefly.
Yeah.
Joe and Dan have been involved one-on-one with each other in the formation of this IGA from day one. I mean, I put the idea in front of Dan. We had a quick discussion about it, and he's been working with Joe ever since. And my understanding about the nature of the IGA is Joe doesn't have any issues with it at all. And I know that he has Bisbee's future at heart, and he's concerned about where Bisbee's going. And I believe he agrees this is our best bet in terms of dealing with the struggle that we have. I can't look in a crystal ball and tell you exactly what's going to happen, but I also trust in Dan's managerial prowess and his command over his staff. I think, again, if we find ourselves sailing into choppy water, we meet with each other and we decide what the appropriate response to that is and we deal with it. But we have to take some action. We can't just stand on what we have, and this does seem to be the best bet for the near term.
And on that note,
for a while, I thought the county did away with all building permits on the in the rural areas. Is that still the case, or did they? No.
They can elect not to if somebody wants.
Uh-huh. I move the adjourn.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I second the motion.
This work session is adjourned. Again, thank you, City Manager Smith, for bringing this proposal forward to us.
Thank you so much for your time this evening and your input.
We look forward to talking with you more about this. And thank you, Dan, for taking the time to be here and available for questions for us. We appreciate that.